أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. We continue reading from the حياة القلوب في رضاء المحبوب موانا قمر الزمان إلى عبادي. Speaking on a number of issues that are relevant to the person seeking nisbah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, differences in the conditions of seekers. Hazrat Shaykh Muslih al-Ummah, the Shaykh of Mawlana Qamar al-Zaman, Shah Wasiullah, one of the more renowned of Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanwi's Khulafa and deputies, he mentioned that in the past, when the masters of this path used to give their khilafah, they used to give their khilafah. Khilafah is what? It literally means to leave someone behind. When they used to depute somebody with the work, that they should carry on the work of guiding people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after they're gone. When they would give the khilafah to anyone, or when the old ulama, the scholars, used to give a certificate to a student, an ijazah to a student of knowledge, they used to feel a very heavy weight and responsibility. They felt it was a trust from Allah Most High, and they would make dua to Allah Most High to enable the person to fulfill this trust in an excellent manner. Unfortunately, this is no longer the situation. So there are many people who carry the nisbah of the great ulama of the past in hadith and in fiqh. They use the names of Abu Hanifa and Bukhari and Muslim and Hafiz ibn Hajar and Al-Tahawi and Al-Ash'ari and Al-Maturidi and the great names that are bankable brands that a person can trust. They use them, but they don't carry the trust thereof. Allah forgive us. Unfortunately, this is no longer the situation. Instead, the acquisition of these positions are now used to acquire wealth and authority, and we seek refuge in Allah Most High. Hazrat Shaykh al-Akbar Muhyiddin ibn Arabi rahimahullah tabarak wa ta'ala states in the Adab al-Shaykh wal-Murid, إِنَّ الزَّمَانَ مَشْحُونٌ بِالدَّعَاوِي الْكَاذِبَ الْعَرِيضَ فَلَا مُرِيدَ صَادِقْ ثَابِتُ الْقَدَمِ فِي سُرُوكِهِ وَلَا شَيْخَ مُحَقَّقٌ يَنْصَحُهُ فيخرجه من رعونة نفسه وإعجابه برأيه ويعزب لخ عن طريق الحق فالمريد يدعي الشيخوخة والرياسة هذا كله تخبيط وتلبيس. This is a very, I guess, scathing condemnation of the state of affairs that Sheikh Al-Akbar talks about in his age. In his age, which was a long time ago, when still there was some part of Muslim rule in Spain, etc. This was a long time ago. He said that this era is mashhoon, it's packed full بالدعاوي الكاذبة العريضة, by claims that people make, which have two qualities. One is that they're false, and the other is that they're like tall tales. People make up tall tales about the claims that this is what station I have in knowledge, or this is what station I have in the tariq toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that there's no longer, and when they say this, obviously they don't mean that it's completely 100% gone, because this thing will be preserved in the ummah until the day of judgment. But compared to what it was and what it should be, it's as if there's no true seeker anymore who is firm in his footing on his travel to Allah Ta'ala, nor is there any sheikh who has achieved a station with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala such that they're in a position to guide other people. And there's no sheikh that is there to give sincere advice to the disciples, so that he can take that person out from the silliness and the stupidity of their own nafs, of their own ego, and from their being impressed with themselves. It's funny. There's no sheikh left that will give sincere advice and take the seeker away from the stupidity of their own ego and their being impressed with their own opinions. And this is a very interesting expression. وَيَعْزَبُ اللَّخَ عَنْ طَرِيقِ الْحَقِّ. And if somebody is an Ibn Arabi expert and they'd like to correct correct this reading. If it's wrong, then be my guest. But after some search in the dictionary, what it seems to mean to me is that lach is a camel whose one knee is far larger than the other, so it can't walk properly. So he says that because there's no sheikh that will straighten out the silliness of people's egos, nor will they teach them not to be impressed with their own opinions, you'll see that on the road of the haq, the murid will be like a lach. He'll be like a camel whose like legs are not evenly formed, so it can't travel the path properly. And what ends up happening is that the murid, the murid himself will start to make claims in regards to I'm a sheikh and I'm a person of great maqam in this path. And he goes, all of it is takhbit and it's talbis. It's all just insanity and it's all deception. So Moana Qamar al-Zaman says, we learn from the above that after traversing the entire journey, the first obstacle which a seeker encounters is his claim to excellence and ostentation. This stems from an absence of sincerity and non-rectification of the self. The person, it's a sign when a person claims that I have this maqam and I have that maqam with Allah and I have this spiritual station and I'm this and I'm that, that there is some problem in their ikhlas and their sincerity, and that they haven't actually rectified their nafs. As long as this is not abandoned, meaning making claims and showing off, as long as this is not abandoned, a person will not succeed. Understand this well. This is part of our aqidah that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, إِنَّمَا الْأُمُورُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمُ وَكَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, that all matters are the way that they end. So if you're going to carry yourself in such a way that you make claims, I memorized this much, I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that. If at the end of your path you're going to end up making claims, that means the end is a fail. So is there any use in doing that in the beginning or in the middle? Absolutely not. That if you're going to end up screwing everything up in the end, that means that all of your effort in the middle was also a waste of time. Abandoning worship because of not experiencing sweetness in it. We also get some immature people who, when they do not experience any sweetness and joy in their worship, they abandon it. Salat, zikr, these things. Sometimes you feel good when you do them, sometimes you don't. The Sheikh says, we also get some immature people who, when they do not experience any sweetness and joy in their worship, they abandon it. The author of Ruh al-Ma'ani says, with reference to such people, Ruh al-Ma'ani is a tafsir of the Quran written in the last days of the Ottoman era in Iraq by Sayyid Alusi. It's a very well-known work on the tafsir of the Quran. The author of Ruh al-Ma'ani says, with reference to such people, مَثَلُهُمْ كَمَثَلِ الَّذِي اسْتَوْقَدَ النَّارَ فَلَمَّا أَضَاءَتْ مَا حَوْلَهُ ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ وَتَرَكَهُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. This is from Surah Al-Baqarah, that their likeness is similar to that person who kindled a fire, and then when the fire was lit up, when the fire was lit up and it illuminated everything that was around him, Allah Ta'ala took their light away from them and left them in utter darkness where they could see nothing. Just as this person and his companions were left in the dark after having had some light, the hypocrites, the munafiqeen, the people who claim iman but carry inside their hearts the reality of kufr, they fell into darkness and misguidance after the truth was clear to them. Just as the eyes, ears, and tongues of these people who kindled the fire were rendered useless when they fell into darkness and misguidance, their condition was described as is mentioned below, which is also the text of the Quran. Subsequent, summun bukmun umyun fahum la yarji'un. They are deaf and they are mute and they are blind and they will not be able to find the road again after having lost it. Sit properly, don't lean against the thing. Move away from the wall. Move away from the wall, please. Thank you. ومن البطون القرآنية التي ذكرها سادتنا الصوفية نفعنا الله تعالى بهم أن الآية مثل من دخل طريقة الأولياء بالتقليد لا بالتحقيق. فعمل عمل الظاهر وما وجد حلاوة الباطن فترك الأعمال بعد فقدان الأحوال. He writes an explanation of this, that from the Quranic mysteries which the masters of this path and our elders mentioned, is that this verse contains an example of the one who enters the path of the awliya of Allah, the friends of Allah, through blind following rather than through realization. There are many people like, oh, look, Sufi, that's cool. Like, that's the cool thing. You know, I saw on TV that that's like the thing that, like, whatever the types of Islam kafirs like, or, you know, I, you know, whatever, so-and-so has a really nice turban on or has a really nice sibha. And, you know, instead of like, whatever, instead of reading Quran, like at Maktab, they sing a lot or whatever. I don't know. And so someone's like, for whatever other reason, they just went in and they're like, yeah, this is the group of people I want to hang out with. They seem to have a higher net worth or higher income than the other Muslims, or, you know, their English is cleaner, and like, I don't want to hang out with immigrants or whatever. You know what I mean? So that person went and just imitated their customs without actually being what they were, without actually realizing the things that they were teaching and bringing them into their own heart. And so that person outwardly did the actions that those people did, but they didn't find the sweetness inside of their heart that those people had. And then when a long time passes and they don't feel that sweetness in their heart, then they would leave saying zikr and leave you know, the ibadah of Allah Ta'ala, and leave all of the actions of the people of the path to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The author of Ruhul Ma'ani then continues, وَقَالَ أَبُو الْحَسَنِ الْوَرَّاقُ هَذَا مَثَلٌ ضَرَبَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى لِمَنْ لَمْ يُصَحِّحْ أَحْوَالَ الْإِرَادَةِ فَارْتَقَى مِنْ تِلْكَ الْأَحْوَالِ بِالدَّعَاوِي إِلَى أَحْوَالِ الْأَكَابِرِ فَكَانَ يُضِيءُ عَلَيْهِ أَحْوَالُ إِرَادَةٍ لَوْ صَحَّحَهَا بِمُلَازَمَةِ آدَابِهَا فلما مزجها بالدعاوى أذهب الله تعالى عنه تلك الأنوار وبقي في ظلمات دعاويه لا يبصر طريق الخروج منها. نسأل الله تعالى العفو والعافية ونعوذ به من الحور بعد الكور. The Sahib Ruh al-Ma'ani al-Alusi, he brings then the words of the Shaykh Abu Hassan al-Warraq, may Allah be pleased with him. He said that this person who they had the fire going, and then they had all the light, and then bam, Allah Ta'ala took the light away from them. He says that this this likeness that Allah Ta'ala, this parable he struck most high, is the likeness of the person who sought to tread this path toward Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Again, it doesn't mean you join a group called Sufi. It means you become a Muslim and you want to find Allah, or whether you use the name or not. So that someone who tread this path, but their ahwal of their irada, the conditions of their seeking Allah Ta'ala, they weren't correct. They didn't do it with sincerity, and they didn't do it for the right reasons. And so that person kept going further and further and going higher and higher in their station, but only through their claims. Only through their claims, not in reality. Only through their claims, like, oh, look, you know, now I'm so spiritual, now I'm this, now I'm that. And they made more and more claims until they reached the station of our elders and the great mashayikh, the awliya of Allah. Only through their claims, though. That person, they get to a place it would have been illuminated had they actually reached that place rather than making claims, had they stuck to the adab of that path toward Allah Ta'ala. But because they mixed their traveling toward Allah Ta'ala with claims, Allah Ta'ala took all of their light away from them. And that person will then be stuck and imprisoned in the darkness of their claims, and they were not going to be able to find a way out of it. And so we find a lot of people in that place, that they spend some significant amount of time and effort and money and whatever in their traveling toward Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and their salute toward Allah, and then they say, oh, this was all worthless. It was not useful to me because, look, you know, I'm not able to see the future in my dreams or whatever. And the person cannot find a way out. We ask Allah العفو والعافية, that he forgive us and that he keep us in a good state, and we seek refuge from him. من الحور بعد الكور. This is a we seek refuge in him from being like confused after having had our act together. And this is a اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الحور بعد الكور. It's a dua of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and it's a metaphor for Ya Allah, I seek your protection from kufr after having had iman. The following is stated in the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Sirat al-Mustaqim is a book, a very aqidah heavy book on suluk that was written by Shah Ismail Shaheed rahimahullah tabarak wa ta'ala, who was mentioned in one of the bayans very well listened to, the companion of Sayyid Ahmed Shaheed and the grandson of Shah Waliullah, the nephew of Shah Abdul Aziz. A major reason why a seeker is deprived of divine blessings and favors is the evil qualities of his animalistic self, i.e. their miserness, being a kanjus, being cheap, not giving money to others when you should share, or spending on those things Allah commands you to spend on jealousy, being jealous of one another, on backbiting, talking bad about one another, lying. Allah Ta'ala doesn't love the person who lies, and the person who tells lies, Allah Ta'ala will deprive that person of this nur inside of their heart. Slandering, meaning speaking ill of other people, bad things that are a lie. If the bad things you say about someone behind their back is true, then it's backbiting. It's still haram. And if you make up things about other people that are not true, or pass on things that are not true about other people, that's slander. It's buhtan. And ostentation, showing off, what the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam called shirk al asghar, greed and avarice and so on. The pious predecessors considered the purification of these evils to be of the most foremost importance. They used to remove these qualities from their hearts only for Allah's pleasure and uproot them completely so that no trace remained and their hearts were completely purified. This is why they become eligible for Allah's favor. If you don't take care of these things first off, then you can do all the zikr you want, salat, Quran, hafiz, mafiz, everything you can, alim, all of this stuff, you can do it. But the heart is not, it's not eligible for Allah Ta'ala's favor. It is by virtue of the purification of their hearts, which they did solely for Allah's pleasure and happiness, that they used to be accepted by Allah, the Creator, and then thereby by the creation. When a person traverses the different levels of suluk, their different levels of their journey toward Allah, and still does not receive Allah's favor inside of their heart, we can conclude that the effects of all of those evil qualities, or some of them, are still in their heart. The presence of these are obstacles to Allah's favors coming down on them. This doesn't mean, you know, there's a kayfiyah, there's a state that a person has that they refer to as al-qabd, meaning what? That a person is doing everything that's right, but they don't feel good. They feel like it's difficult, right? We're not talking about that, because someone could be doing everything that's right and feeling that their path toward, journey toward Allah is difficult. The fact that you're doing right things is an indication that Allah loves you and that you're getting His favor. We're talking about what? That there are some things people know that they can improve, that they can do better. As long as those things are there, then you know you're not in the state of qabd or constriction. Rather, you're just not on the path at all. Maulana Ismail Shaheed, Shah Ismail Shaheed Dehlawi rahimahullah, states that the presence of evil qualities are obstacles to divine blessings and favors. This is why our akabir, our elders from the past, consider the purification of character to be of foremost importance. They also state that a person may have followed the path prescribed by the seniors, by the elders, and by the akabir, but if all or some of the evil still remains inside of them, the path will not open up to them fully. Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki rahimahullah ta'ala, who is a Shaykh al-Mashaykh, was a great master of this path and Shaykh of the last century in the Indian subcontinent, or maybe more than that, says that as long as the character is not rectified, a person does not develop even the capability of having nisbah with Allah. If you can't get these things out of the way, even the ability, the possibility of nisbah with Allah doesn't come. it doesn't come up. Mulana Qamar al-Zaman says from his Shaykh, the Muslif al-Ummah, rahimahullah, from what I understand, the reason for this is that from amongst the evil qualities, pride, jealousy, anger, greed, avarice, ostentation, and fake claims to excellence, you find the source of all illness. They're either these qualities either are being put in a person from shaitan, or they come from a person not believing in Allah aslan. And both of the groups, the shaitan and the unbelievers, have already earned Allah's wrath. So how can that person become how can the person who follows one of those paths become beloved to Allah Most High? This is why it is extremely important and most essential to remove these evil qualities, especially claims to excellence, and to focus on the rectification of character. Understand this well, and the inspiration is from Allah Most High alone. And this idea of making claims, is something very dangerous. It's been said that the person who makes a claim, like I'm this and I'm that, if the claim is true, then Allah Ta'ala will make them lose what they claimed. So if a person says I'm a righteous man and makes a claim in front of somebody else, and they actually are a righteous man, the punishment for that is Allah will make them lose their righteousness. And the person who makes the claim that they're a righteous person and they actually aren't a righteous person, then the punishment for that is that they'll never be a righteous person. Whereas if a person looks at themselves and they say, I have mistakes, I have some qualities inside of me that are not good, and so I ask Allah to forgive me, even if they are a righteous man, the reward for that is what? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase them in their righteousness. This is because of the spiritual reality which is stated by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَن تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. The one who humbles themselves for the sake of Allah, Allah ta'ala will elevate that person. And so the mafhum al-mukhalif is also there as well, that the person who tries to elevate themselves, Allah ta'ala will abase them, will humiliate them. Allah Ta'ala will humiliate them for it, because the only one who has kibr, the only one who possesses greatness and jalal is Allah, and anybody who tries to say that I'm great after him, Allah Ta'ala will show which of the two is greater. This is why we consider kibr or arrogance to be the greatest of the sins, and from amongst the sins, the one that most resembles kufr, because it is the sin of shaitan to say that I'm better than him. You created me from fire, and you created him from clay. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Allah Ta'ala protect us from making claims, false claims, or even true claims by which we lose our status with him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us by the hand and take us down this path, which is very difficult, but it's easy for the one who Allah makes it easy for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purge from our hearts all of these bad qualities which belong to shaitan and belong to the people of disbelief, and make us from amongst it those who he loves and that are eligible for his love. Wa sallallahu tabarak wa ta'ala wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Just a small, before we completely disband this majlis, understand why this is so problematic. That we live in a culture which is our own. We don't blame anyone else for it. We live in a culture in which we pick our leaders by seeing who can stand up in a podium in front of everybody and boast more about how good they are, and who can boast more and make more claims about themselves. And we live in a culture that we don't accept things from anybody until they market the living heck out of them and advertise the living heck out of them. And we ourselves have made a culture in which those people who promote themselves as really aggressively, we consider them to be competent, and those people who don't do so, we consider them to be incompetent. And it has to do with a lack of being able to observe what's around us, because if we had ourselves any quality in us, quality recognizes quality. It takes one to know one. So we would see where goodness comes from, because we ourselves struggle to be good. But because we ourselves haven't struggled to be good, we don't know We can't look at people and see what their state is, and we have to then depend on their boasting and their claims in order to evaluate what they are. And it should be clear to someone how spiritually this is complete disaster, how spiritually this is complete, like a complete death sentence to anyone who wishes to make any sort of organization or any sort of movement or any sort of collaboration based on or society based on or civilization based on spiritual values or prophetic values. And the only way to rectify it is that each person grab their mushaf and grab their sibha and start working on themselves. And as you travel the path, you'll also start to see the signs of those who've made it. You'll start to notice those people who are further along than you are, and be able to recognize them and benefit from them. And you'll start to notice those people who have no care for this path also, that they themselves call others to destruction and themselves are destroyed. And we see this happening around us right now on a almost a comical level, that entire aqwam of this earth are following the makers of claims, and they're destroying themselves and they're destroying other people. And we seek Allah's refuge and Allah's protection and ask Him to give us tawbah so we can turn back before we jump over the brink. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala rasulihi Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.